top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Wednesday, May 31st, 2023, and I'm your presenter, Jade George. In the headlines, leader of the United Workers' Party, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, says it is imperative that attention be directed to fostering the growth and development of young people in the knowledge industries.
The Big Station, Q95D.
Barbados is attending the UN Paramount Permanent Forum on People of African Descent on Realizing the Dream on Promotion, Protection, Full Respect of the Human Rights of People of African Descent, including Haitians.
Q, top of the hour news.
And Russia has been intensifying its ongoing heavy wave of attacks on the Ukrainian capital city of Kyiv in recent days, ahead of what many anticipate is a planned counteroffensive by Ukrainian forces. The news is brought to you through with the very kind compliments of Rudolph Thomas. The details of these coming up next.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins, and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Leader of the United Workers' Party, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, expressed the opinion that fostering the growth and development of young individuals through the systematic promotion of the knowledge industries is a key direction that should be pursued. He added that providing such young individuals with the means to explore the various facets of technology could potentially allow them to become proficient in the creation of apps, websites, and even artificial intelligence AI systems, in which such expertise could pave the way for the creation of new employment opportunities for them.
Developing the young people on the platform of the internet, for example, or the what we call the knowledge industry. That is where the direction should be. We want our young people to be out there building apps, figuring out new apps, you know, getting involved in all the technology that is going on, you know, imagining artificial intelligence, doing those things that can help create jobs for them. Okay, so you want to create that environment, you want to create those opportunities. At the same time, you want to give them an appreciation for what's around them, an appreciation for agriculture, an appreciation for, you know, just the beauty of Dominica and how they can work on Dominica to make Dominica better. So that blueprint must involve giving them a chance. Because if you give a young person a chance, right, for example, I would be a completely different person if when I had left school, high school, or when I went to college, I had not gotten a job. I would be a completely different person. My whole outlook on life would have been different. My whole desire to do certain things would have been different.
According to Fontaine, young people are frequently labeled as the party or CWO generation. Nonetheless, he points that such characterization is a response to the prevailing circumstances of scarcity of substantive job prospects for young people, resulting in a dearth of opportunities for upward mobility.
But the idea that you can get work in your country, the idea that you are given those opportunities changes everything for you, you know? And now, you know, we see we are very hard on our young people because we say, you know, sometimes they're out there, they're just drinking, it's a CWO generation, we refer to them sometimes.
That's a good point.
You know, CWO generation, but in a way, that is a reaction to what they have inherited, you know? And as well as all of us have turned out, If we were in that generation, we probably would have been the same way.
Mm-hmm.
What made the difference between me and a young person who's grown up over the past 20 years is that when I grew up, there were opportunities. There were opportunities for me to work. There were opportunities for me to dream and to think big. A person born on the Labour Party, they're not seeing their way out. They're not seeing any opportunities for them. So that itself is a restrictive thing. Yeah. So it's not so much about the individual, it's about the environment.
Yes.
And that environment has not been created for young people. Mm-hmm. So a blueprint must involve creating that environment that people feel that they can dream, people feel that they can have the opportunities in life, that they can be anything that they want to be. And that is where it starts, and that is what we have to focus on.
Leader of the United Workers' Party, Dr. Thompson Fontaine. President of the UWP, Lennox Linton, laments that contemporary technology has brought to light the precarious foundation on which the process of nation building stands. He says this is resulting in a sense of insecurity, marginalization, and disconnection of the youth from a system that has consistently demonstrated its inability to provide effective solutions to the real-world challenges. Linton believes Dominica is currently experiencing the consequences of its bad investments without substantial collaboration and involvement by the youth over the course of several years.
As we've all watched as modern technology exposed the, I would say, shaky nation-building foundation that has left our youth insecure, has left them marginalized, and it has left them unconnected to a system that over the years has shown it is unable to deliver solutions to the real-life challenges of young people. So in effect, we're really reaping what we have sown in our progressive departure, if you will, through the years. Because we've all watched as modern technology exposed the, I would say, shaky nation-building foundation that has left our youth insecure, has left them marginalized, and it has left them unconnected to a system that over the years has shown it is unable to deliver solutions to the real-life challenges of young people. So, in effect, we're really reaping what we have sown in our progressive departure, if you will, through the years from meaningful youth participation and partnership in nation building and in wealth creation as well. So now we need a movement to meet young people where they are. Where they are in schools, in sporting and in entertainment events, in clubs, in community centers, on the block, in church, in the hospitals. We have to meet them physically. We have to meet them academically, socially. We have to meet them emotionally and help them to build relationships, to build skills, competencies, and the confidence they need to succeed in life. And this is going to mean developing learning, supportive learning, supporting recreational settings that can nurture, can strengthen the interests of youth and to enable them to thrive while they're building relationships and bonding with their peers and bonding with the adults.
According to Linton, the learning process for young individuals occurs not only within the confines of a classroom, but also outside of it, and as such, it is imperative to establish a method of integrating resources for youth development in a manner that enables the acquisition of comprehensive skill sets.
You know, our young people are learning all the time, you know, in school, out of school, in families, in neighborhoods, in communities, they're learning. And we have to find a way to align our youth development resources to a strategy that gives them a real broad range of skill sets, knowledge, and competencies that they need to become lifelong learners. We want to see them emerge as successful business leaders, high performance professionals, productive workers, world-class artists, sportsmen and women, and engaged citizens. So let's fix the focus on that. Let's fix the focus on those settings, those services that facilitate young people to grow while exploring interests and dealing with issues that reflect their passions, their concerns, and their dreams of success. Because believe it or not, whatever you say about the young people of Dominica, they do have dreams of succeeding in Dominica. So let us provide that platform for successful youth participation in the partnership to build, to maintain, and to continuously improve the best Dominica for all of Dominicans at home and abroad. And that is why in the budget of 2022, I proposed the setting up of a youth entrepreneurship investment bank to help to grow youth-based wealth in our nature island family.
President of the United Workers Party, Lennox Linton. Attorney Gabriel Christian of the Caribbean Agricultural Network remarked on how the organization brought the ambassador to the United States and president of the State College to the University of Maryland and signed an MOU for agriculture in collaboration with the government and people of Dominica so that we could have the best practices here. The university dispatched two food technologists who instructed farmers on canning and preservation of fruits. With the help of this information, farmers were able to increase the shelf life of their produce and develop new skills in their field. Both parties benefited from the collaboration because it has made it possible to share agricultural knowledge and skills.
We brought Hubert Charles, Ambassador to the United States, and Donald Peters, President of the State College, to the University of Maryland and signed an MOU for agriculture collaboration with the government and people of Dominica, okay? So we could have it be that we also had the best practices from here where that could be a benefit. And when they were done, the university sent two food technologists at the university's expense and at the Dominican Grammar School on one Saturday with Errol and Brother Dave with their canned shirts and the others, taught our farmers how to can, preserve mango puree, mango chunks, mango slices, because we have a lot of mango in season. What happens out of season? You can't find it. But by canning mangoes, you could have it all through the year, freshly when it's in season, when it's not in season, in canned form.
He emphasizes that the Dominican agriculture process, along with the Ministry of Agriculture, is centered on sustainability and collaboration. Christian also highlighted the importance of developing a culture that values Dominican intellectualism and consistently works towards this end result.
So we are very mindful of coming at this agriculture process from a sustainability standpoint and not the old colonial monocrop economy where we are dependent on one stream of income. But what we do know is that we must collaborate. And so everything we've done, we've shared with the Ministry of Agriculture. We make our criticisms with regard to the governance of our country, which is our right in a democracy, but we share. You know, if we have to do something, we invite the ambassador. We invite the State College president. We do an MOU with the government of Dominica. Now, once you have an MOU, that's just the first step, you know. The second step is to make manifest the purpose of that MOU by working it on a consistent basis. And so what we want to see is that growth in culture that respects the Dominican intellect. Let's not dumb down our people. We have brilliant people.
Attorney Gabriel Christian of the Caribbean Agricultural Network. Minister for Health, Wellness and Social Services, Kasani Lavelle, and Chief Medical Officer Acting, Dr. Laura Esprit, are attending the 76th Annual World Health Assembly in Geneva, Switzerland. The theme of this year's Health Assembly is WHO at 75, Saving Lives, Driving Health for All. Honorable Lavelle presented several of Dominica's achievements in the health sector while also making a plea to the delegation to continue to support the efforts of small island developing states like the island. Both the minister and Dr. Esprit expect to engage in several roundtable discussions where WHA delegates, partner agencies, representatives of civil society, and WHO experts will deliberate on current and future priorities for public health issues of global importance. Topics include the World Together, member state-led processes to strengthen pandemic prevention, preparedness and response, a safer and healthier tomorrow through restoring essential immunization today, protecting and investing in the health and care workforce, the role of the health community in climate action, among others. The World Health Assembly is the decision-making body of WHO. It is attended by delegations from all WHO or WHO member states and focuses on specific health agenda prepared by the executive board. The main functions of the World Health Assembly are to determine the policies of the organization, appoint the director general, supervise financial policies, and review and approve the proposed program and budget. United Workers' Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine asserted during the CCM program on Friday evening that the two decades of governance by the DLP regime has been a dreadful experience for young people, which is raising concerns regarding the measures needed to alleviate the predicament of young Dominicans. He suggests that addressing the root cause of the challenges faced by young individuals under the DLP regime could be achieved through the provision of educational resources and employment prospects, this strategy aims to equip them with the necessary tools to thrive and overcome the difficulties encountered.
For youth, 20 years under the Labour Party has been an absolute nightmare. Okay, so the question is, how do we rescue our young people? Okay, because we see, because of that constant barraging, because of that constant lack of ability or lack of opportunity, the inability to find jobs, the inability to stand on their own feet, their shame, they are not proud, they are not that beauty that I talk about is gone. You know, so no longer is beauty and youth spoken of in the same way in Dominica, because our young people are just completely out of it in the sense that they've not been given those opportunities. So how we correct this is to create opportunities for young people that will make them thrive. And how you create opportunities, number one, you make sure that they have a good education. But number two, you make sure that they get an opportunity to work, an opportunity to be able to work, build a family life, you know, contribute in a meaningful way to society. And that blueprint would involve what we call a youth jobs program, okay? That would be the starting point for me.
Fontaine says the educational considerations embedded in the proposed solution would guarantee universal access to education for all children, regardless of academic capabilities. Furthermore, it would provide opportunities for skill development through vocational and training programs.
The education party would take care of to make sure that every single child is educated. Those who are not academically inclined, to make sure that they get the vocational and all the training, whether it's plumbing or electricity and so on, make sure that all of those mechanic and all of those are fully covered so that they have those opportunities. But once they come out of that system, to create the jobs for them. So for me, a blueprint for the youth of Dominica is quite simply creating job opportunities. Because when you create job opportunities, when a young person doesn't have to worry about where the meal is coming from, when they don't have to feel so bad about themselves because they feel useless, because they can earn a living, then they become creative. The creativity comes out. They are suddenly involved in youth activity. They're involved in helping their community. They're involved in doing things, imagining things and doing things. And that is what we need to encourage. So for me, if you ask me, for the youth of Dominica, it would be creating the opportunities and making use of the current movements in technology or the improvements in technology.
Leader of the United Workers Party, Dr. Thompson Fontaine. According to Justice Dr. Irvin Andre, Wesley people are experiencing displacement due to their ancestral roots in the village dating back 100 years. He makes mention that Dominicans are being called and categorized as racist towards certain people when it's nowhere similar to the racism faced by African Americans in America, Canada, and China. He explains that they are being told they are racist and should play dead while the heritage is being stolen.
Where is Wesley? Where are the people of Wesley, Gasso? Huh? Eating chow mein somewhere? Being displaced? Having persons come in and point fingers at the house? This is the house I want. I can't say it in Chinese. Their ancestral roots in a village going some as long as 100 years? They're just displaced. Just displaced. That's what's happening. That's the sad state of affairs. And I heard another remark. What a dishonest remark. Oh, Dominicans are racist to certain people, for God's sakes. Just a touch of your keyboard or your phone, and you will find exactly the racism that persons of African origin have had to deal with, contend with. Not only in America, not only in Canada, but also in China, for God's sakes. And we have been told that, Gosa, y'all are racists. Y'all should just lie down and play dead. while your heritage is being stolen right under your very eyes.
He continues by saying that Dominicans are having an existential struggle to protect their legacy since they are being sold their history and sold for a few dollars. The Chinese have a harsh policy against corruption, but Dominicans continue to face the same issues.
This is the crap these fellas are peddling. They're peddling that crap because they're benefiting from it. And Dominicans, quite frankly, would be extremely gullible to accept that errant nonsense being peddled by these fellas who are selling their heritage and their souls for a few dollars more, not even 30 pieces of silver. So that's why this is an existential fight, an existential fight to preserve one's heritage. The Chinese have a very harsh policy, you know, in China for corruption. They put you before 10 marksmen and they kill you right there on the spot. But in Dominica, it's business as usual.
Justice Dr. Irvin Andre, the newly re-elected president of the Dominica Cycling Association, Ronald Charles, conveyed his appreciation for his re-election as president of the organization. His statement was made subsequent to the elections of the DCA, which took place over the weekend. He indicated that a considerable amount of effort is requisite to be undertaken with the recently appointed executive committee. Charles expressed the necessity of conducting a review of the constitution of the organization of the association in order to comprehensively encompass all facets of the advancement of cycling as a sport within the constitutional framework.
I'm elated and honored to know that the General Cycling Body has confidence in me and that my position for presidency was uncontested, and I feel honored to be in that position. I believe that we have a lot of work to do in cycling with the new executive coming on board with new faces. We have a lot of is our constitution. We definitely have to re-examine our constitution and ensure all aspects of the development of the sport is somewhat captured in the constitution, so that when we have any kind of activity and or, you know, anything to do, we will refer to the constitution for guidance. I think another priority is the executive. I think we definitely need to look at having some administrative training in this regard. When I say administrative training, we're going to revisit a lot of the functionality of these different positions, because I think that is important.
Charles stated that there will be a close examination of the different clubs to enhance the participation of numerous young individuals in the field of cycling. Furthermore, he emphasized that the Dominica Olympic Committee, the DOC, has received a developmental plan proposed by the association which prioritizes the recruitment of young cyclists.
We're also going to look at our clubs. I think at present, we definitely need to empower the clubs that we have. We need to hear of more engagement with the young people. And definitely that is what we're looking at. For a matter of fact, the DOC has already received a proposal focusing on our developmental plan and focusing on the recruitment of young cyclists to participate and to be part and parcel of this growing sport. So these are the areas of serious concerns. As we look at this year, as you know, our season will be kicked off late because we needed to have our elections. We needed to do what we have to do. But the new executive mandate thus far is that come June the 15th to the 19th, as I said in previous pronouncement, the peddlers team from Trinidad or club from Trinidad will be coming, will be visiting us, during that time.
President of the Dominica Cycling Association, Ronald Charles. In other news this morning, Barbados is being represented at the United Nations Permanent Forum on People of African Descent. The second session of the Permanent Forum got underway yesterday and runs until June at the headquarters in New York. The theme this year is Realizing the Dream, a UN declaration of the promotion, protection, and full respect of the human rights of people of African descent. Ambassador to CARICOM David Commission who was invited to the event, sees the forum as important. He was a guest on the Conversations on CARICOM segment of CBC TV8's Morning Barbados. Ambassador Commission is expected to take part in a number of side events at the forum, and Haiti will also be on the agenda.
It is supposed to be a kind of watchdog over human, over the issues of people of African descent, particularly human rights issues, human rights abuses. Five of the members of the forum were elected by the UN General Assembly. The other five were appointed by the president of the UN Human Rights Council. I was a member of the CARICOM committee that selected our two CARICOM candidates. And they were both successful. Dr. Suma was able to win election through the General Assembly, and Ms. Curry gained the favor of the President of the Human Rights Council. I will make a speech to the Permanent Forum tomorrow, and I do reference the situation in Haiti. But yes, CARICOM remains very concerned about the situation in Haiti. Our most recent initiative is to establish a three-person group of special envoys who will interact with stakeholders from Haiti. And when we say stakeholders, we are talking about civil society leaders plus representatives of the governing administration.
And Russia has been conducting its heaviest wave of attacks on the Ukrainian capital city of Kyiv in recent days. This is ahead of a planned counter-offensive by Ukrainian forces. Professor Michael Clark takes a look at the recent attacks and what it means for the conflict in Ukraine.
The last 24 hours have seen a great many explosions, both in Moscow, but also in Kyiv as well. And clearly this air campaign, this campaign of drones, Kyiv against Moscow, Moscow against Kyiv, appears to be in a rather dramatic phase. This increased tempo of air action, if that's what it is, certainly matters because it indicates that the major offensive that Ukraine is about to begin is very imminent. The Russians have stepped up their air campaign tremendously against Ukraine in recent days. Since the 1st of May, they've launched 17 different attacks, and three of those attacks have come in the last 24 hours. So they clearly think that something is about to happen, and Kyiv has made it very clear that the offensive is now imminent. The orders have been given, said Zelensky, and we'll see them play out in the coming days, I suspect. It would be very concerning, I think, for Kyiv if these attacks around Moscow turn out to have been initiated by the Ukrainian government, because it will strengthen the narrative that the Russians have been pushing that, of course, Ukraine is trying to attack Russia. Of course, NATO is behind Ukraine. Of course, NATO is trying to destroy Russia. None of those things are true, but attacks on Moscow that come obviously from Kyiv will increase that narrative. And the problem for Kyiv about that is not whether the Russians believe it or not, but whether it makes the Western backers of Ukraine nervous that they're being pulled into something that they really can't control. The quickest way for Ukraine to lose this war would be to attack Russia with Western weapons. Now, they haven't done that, and they say they won't do that. But anything that seems to cross the line towards doing that will be very bad for Ukraine in political terms. As of now, the big question is whether Kyiv was behind these drone attacks. And one of the big questions is whether the drones themselves, the UJ-22s, were actually Ukrainian drones, and were they UJ-22s that were actually used? The evidence so far is contradictory. Some of the footage that's come out of Moscow are clearly not of the UJ-22 drones, but other bits of film indicate that they might be. And so getting to the bottom of it forensically will be very important, and that's got to be done, I think, within the next 24 to 48 hours to stop too many hairs running, to stop too many rumours circulating. And the government in Ukraine have got to get on top of this issue. They've got to make it clear either it was them and they're doing it for a reason, or it wasn't them and they can more or less prove that it wasn't them. Uncertainty will do Ukraine a lot of harm.
And that's the morning news, but first is a recap of the headlines. Leader of the United Workers' Party, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, says it is imperative that attention be directed to fostering the growth and development of young people in the knowledge industries. Barbados is attending the UN Permanent Forum on People of African Descent on realizing the dream on promotion, protection, full respect of the human rights of people of African descent. And Russia has been intensifying its ongoing heavy wave of attacks on the Ukrainian capital city of Kyiv in recent days, ahead of what many anticipate is a planned counter-offensive by Ukrainian forces. The morning news was brought to you with the very kind compliments of Rudolph Thomas, and I have been your presenter, Jede George.